let's bow our heads and let's pray over the preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you. We love you, God. We pray that you would bless this preaching moment, God. Allow the people to be eternally touched and blessed. Also, God, we ask that you would strengthen every person. Bless my mouth. Speak through it. Bless my mind. Think through it. God, we thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, unchecked, and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic forces. And for that, we give you praise and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Before I get us into our confession, I just want to say two things. We have one person here that the last time they were here, they were just an engaged person, but they showed up today and they's married now. Amen. Thank God for Sister Jocelyn being in the house with us. And one other person came up to me and said that, and I'm going to have this person stand after they say it, after I say it, but they said that they were on six, I believe, diabetic medicines, and they have been taken off of all of that stuff. They down to one medicine. Would you go ahead and stand up? Come on, Sister K. God is still in the healing business, ain't he? Amen. And if you know anything about, I call her Sister K, but normally I call her Mother K. If you know anything about Mother K, she's been through a lot, yes. Not just life in general, but her health. But man, I'm telling you, she know how to bounce back. She got a bounce back anointing, and I thank God for what God is doing. So amen, we praise God for that. You know what? And I just felt like saying this. You can do it if you want to, but somebody ought to just shake some money in her hand before she walk out the door today. Somebody ought to feel an anointing to put something in her hand. And Sister K, if don't nobody put nothing in your hand, by the time you leave here, come see me. I got something for you. Amen. All right, let's grab our Bibles. Put the thing on the screen, and we get our Bibles in our hands, and let's repeat. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe God's going to feed you, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead and put the title up on the screen for us. The title today is simply this, Nope. Nope. Now, you know, nope is a little harsher than no. Nope has a little more emphasis. Nope. Heaven's nope. God, nope. Whatever you want to add to it. Nope, 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 nope. So let me give you a definition for nope. I'm going to give you two definitions. One is the Oxford definition. It is simply this, respond or react negatively to something. Let me give you another definition, and this is my own definition from my own head. Not going to happen. No. You know that old song that said, we're not going to take it. No, we're not going to take it. Nope, that's what I'm talking about. Nope. You got to have a few nopes in your life. Let me give you just a few for me. Pastor Andre, the new Exorcist is coming out. You want to go to the movies with me? Nope. There's some stuff I don't play with. You can watch what you want to watch, and it ain't about your salvation, but I know what works for me, and I ain't playing with no demonic movies. Nope. Pastor, I cooked a bowl of chitlins. You want some? Nope. Y'all who like them, y'all can eat them. But for me, the answer is nope. You got to have some non-negotiables in your life. And the problem with this generation, they're so wishy-washy that there's no nope. Some stuff has just got to be, you ain't got to explain it. You ain't got to go through it. No. Now, me and my wife, when we were younger, I remember the first time we went to Las Vegas when we were younger, we went through those timeshare things where they try to sell you stuff and they give you something. You can have this. And so we've done this. The next time we went, we knew better. And this last time we went, when people were saying, hey, nope. Pastor, are you being rude? No, she took me there for 48 hours. I ain't got time to be talking to you about you and no timeshare. Nope. Now, here I was going through there with Las Vegas with a Pacers hat, so they know I'm not from there, and they coming to chase me down, and I'm like, nope, but don't you know. Nah. This one lady said, I got to do my job. Can you at least let me come and say something to you? She came, and the answer's still nope. You got to have some nopes in your life. Something. I ain't got time for it. And when you don't know your purpose and you don't know where you're headed, then you always don't know what you should and shouldn't be doing. But some stuff, you have been a Christian long enough, some stuff should be an automatic no. All right. Having said that, I'm going to turn us in a different direction, and I'm going to read this before I have Mother Mitchell read. I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians, but before I read it, somebody just say it again. Say, nope.
Nope.
1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 8. Can I borrow some money? Nope.
Nope.
This ain't the season for me to be given right now, so nope. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 8 says this: love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Goes on to say, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere, and then it culminates with this, and this is just the A part of the verse. It says, love never fails. This is something, I actually heard it yesterday at a wedding I was at. I usually incorporate this when I'm doing weddings. This is from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It's a very important thing about love, and so I'm going to read it again, just briefly go over it again, and then I got something I just need to get out of my system. So let's read it again. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. These things are non-negotiable. Love never fails. Somebody say that when we say love never fails.
Love never fails.
Now, pardon me, I got to get something out of my system. I just feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Pastor, have you lost your mind?
No.
Not quietly. Not quite. I didn't have a whole bunch of sense to begin with, but now hold on. Let me do this one more time.
All
right. All right. Got that out of my system. Somebody said, thank God. Somebody said, let the Holy Ghost have his way. It ain't the Holy Ghost. That was just me. But the Holy Ghost has something to do with it. Let's put up my first point. First point is just this: noisy. There wasn't no rhythm to that. That was just a bunch of racket. That was just a bunch of noise. You ever worked a long day and you come home and you got grandkids and kids there? Sometimes it's like, nope, hush. I done been through enough. I don't want a whole bunch of noise. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, normally when we read the love chapter, like I just did, we start right with the love stuff, but that's not how the verse starts. I mean, that's not how the chapter starts. It starts further back. And so let's give a little context to that love chapter and read this very first verse.
If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
You're just a bunch of noise. a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It says, if I can speak of the tongues of men and angels, which means if I know how to speak in tongues, when you read this and study speaking in tongues in the scripture, it talks about you can speak other languages as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, but you can actually speak what angels speak. You can speak tongues of men and angels, which is an awesome gift. It's powerful, and Paul's not making light of it at all, but he said, if you can do all of that and you don't know how to love, you're just making a bunch of noise. Now, just for a second, let's just have a moment of silence. Just a moment of silence. Everybody be silent. We won't count that cough against you. All right, let's have some more noise again. Even though we were silent, how many of y'all were still noisy? Because you don't know how to love. I ain't talking about y'all in the building. Y'all saved and sanctified. I'm talking about them folk in TV land. But Paul makes this point, and I just wanted to give you a mental picture and let you hear it. That was a bunch of racket that I just did. It didn't have any flow to it. It was just a bunch of noise. And Paul says, those of you, even if you have spiritual gifts that are high and great and awesome, and if you don't have love, you ain't nothing but a bunch of noise. Let's go to point number two. The first point was noisy. Next point is nothing. Going from noisy to nothing. Let's read the continuing verses. So we read verse one. Let's read verse two.
If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing.
Look at what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if you can prophesy and you know everything, if you can look and see who's going to be elected in November, if you had all knowledge and these high spiritual gifts and you don't have love, Paul says you're nothing. Now, people would say, man, that is an amazing man of God. That's an amazing woman of God. They told me things about myself that I never knew. They saw deep into the future. They can talk with angels. They can talk with God. But God says if they don't have the basic thing of love, not only are they noisy, they are nothing. This is some deep stuff. We jump to what love is, but look at how Paul is framing it. Let's go to verse 3.
If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
He said, if I gave everything I had so that anybody around me could not and would not be poor because I gave all my possessions, people would say, oh, man, that is an amazing person. He gave everything. And Paul said, I could boast about that. But if I didn't have love, I still ain't nothing. So there's a lot of church folk doing a lot of good things, but because they don't have love, they're nothing but a bunch of noise and a bunch of nothing. Wow. So basically what I'm saying is sometimes we have gotten the cart before the horse. We're doing all the things that make us look spiritual, but in God's eyes, it's like me going up there and just banging and making a bunch of noise. Here's the problem. You ever seen, especially kids who are very audio sensitive, they can't hear a lot of sound. Sometimes those who are on the autistic spectrum, noise bothers them. You ever seen a kid just do this? Sometimes God is looking at church services doing this. Folk having a good time. Oh, we had church, but God's saying to me it's a bunch of noise. Because they really don't love each other. Because after they get done doing all that church, they're going to go and talk about everybody on their whole road. They're going to talk to unsaved folk and talk about so-and-so was so musty in church. Why are you telling the unsaved person when you could have told the person you sat next to, but you're so used to doing church, you don't have no love. And in God's mind, you ain't nothing but a bunch of noise. And let me add it, Paul said, not only are you noise, you are nothing.
What we teach is with God, we are everything. And what Paul is saying, you can have God and still be nothing if you don't have love, because God is love. And if you don't have love, you really don't have God. Tight?
But it's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. Let's look into number three. Point number three. So noisy, nothing. These all start with the letter N. Not know. 1 John 4:7-8. Very familiar scripture. Read it, Mother Mitchell.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And
read the next verse.
Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
That's what I just said, but now it shows you in the scripture. Here's the thing, not know. You don't know God if you don't function in love. So maybe we need to get back to some of the basics and work on our love. Well, Pastor, I just tell folk the truth. The truth is the truth. But the Bible says we speak the truth in love. Some people, you're just angry and you want to run around and you want to yell at folk, but you don't have love. And that's why people turn you off and tune you out. And you think because you're telling the truth, you are making a difference. Well, they just don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it because you don't wrap it in love. You can get a whole lot more flies with sugar than you can with salt. Sometimes the problem is, all right, I'll put it to you this way. I grew up in the church, and there was mean church mothers, and there was sweet church mothers. And sometimes the sweet church mothers would have to get on your case, but they were so sweet, it was hard not to accept it. Because they was just so sweet. And then there was the mean church mothers. They was mad about everything. And you would tune them out because they fuss about everything. Take that gum out your mouth. I'm not even chewing no gum. I was just biting my tongue and you done gone off on me. See, some people, they think they are godly because they are so stern, but your godliness is related to how you love. I've had people be stern with me, but they did it so sweet. Oh, I just could, like my grandma, she was sweet, sweet, sweet woman. And she know how to say stuff that sometimes wasn't necessarily the best thing to say, but she said it so sweet. I remember one time I was there visiting, and it was a man coming, working for her, and every 6-7 minutes he'd go out the house and have him a cigarette, and he'd come back and do the work, and she said, baby, you get more work done if you let go of them cancer sticks. I mean, that ain't the best thing to say to somebody. She's like, mama, you right. I know. But she said it's so sweet. And as she said it, she was feeding them bread and giving them something to drink. It was hard to be mad at her because even though she told the truth, she had it wrapped in love. And we wonder why folk don't want to come to church. It's because we still don't know how to love. Just rude. Here's another N word, nasty. You ever met a nasty saint? Just nasty. Mean, nasty, and ugly. Look more like the devil, but talking a whole bunch about God. I was watching this lady. She's an anointed lady. And there was a person at the altar. And she told the lady, the person at the altar was a heavy set. And she's got the mic in her hand. And she's praying and prophesying, and she told the girl, she was like, you're pretty, but you're too big. And then she was like, when you go eat something, don't eat five of them. Now, this is a room full of thousands of people. It may be true, but everything don't need to be said over the microphone. Just because you have a level of authority doesn't mean you need to talk to people any kind of way. And let me say something. There was a generation where we grew up where that could go over. But this new generation, you can't talk to folk like that. You can't snatch up everybody's kids. You got to learn how to control yourself, because everything that you're doing is not necessarily right just because it's right. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Just because it's right don't mean it's right. The Bible says a word, a right word spoken at the wrong time is still wrong. And some people are so caught up because they're right, they don't know how to deal with people. Had a person talk to me, and they were homosexual. Everybody knew there was a homosexual, and I was warned about them and their homosexuality. And so I ended up having to go and work with this individual. But this individual was just as nice as they could be. All the stuff I heard about him wasn't right. And he looked at me and said, "You Royce's boy, ain't you? You look just like him." He ended up becoming one of my best friends. And when I say people, I wasn't just Christians, but everybody warned me about him because he worked by himself. And they was like, "If you get over there, he might be looking at you." And I went all nervous, but was one of the best people I'd ever met. Over a period of time, within the 3 or 4 weeks working together, he said, "If I ever die, I want either your daddy or you to preach my funeral." He said, "Because y'all some preachers that have never treated me wrong. You treat me right." Now, what he didn't know is I went there ready to judge him because of all the stuff I heard. But within 4 weeks, the love that I have in my spirit, he said, "If I ever die, I want you to preach my funeral." And we ended up becoming the best of friends. And I ended up actually preaching his funeral, because by the time he passed away, my father had already passed away. But we spent a time of about 10 years where we hadn't talked, because we went other places. He called me one day. He said, "Andre, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to get my life right with God." He says, "I am who I am." And then he began to tell me how and why he became who he was. He said, "I didn't choose to be gay." Some people say I was born gay. But no, somebody forced himself upon him and it messed up his sexuality. He said, "I wouldn't have chosen this for anybody." But sometimes we judge folk and we don't know their story. If you went through what they went through, maybe you wouldn't be as holy as you think you are. So he was like, basically, for me, it's not so easy. But anyway, he called me about 10 years later and he said, I want to focus on God. I want to know more about God. And will you help me? He said, "I'm going to bug you." And he sure did. He bugged me, called me about scriptures. And one time, I didn't judge him. I didn't ask him, "Well, what's going on with your boyfriend? What you doing?" God didn't lead me to say none of that. He just led me to share the word of God with him. And at one point, he just offered the information up to me. He said, "By the way, I'm not doing anything sexual. I just want you to know I'm not going for the till I die. I'm not doing none of that. I've done it all my life. I am who I am. But I'm going to try to live it this way." I didn't tell him what he needed to do, when he needed to do, how he needed to do it. But he was reaching out for God. Let God do the work. Just love folk. Let God do the work. And even if he had done some of that, who's to say God still wouldn't snatch him up and take him into heaven? Because God, when he dies for you, it's his choice what he does with you. But for us, because we so saved and we so holy, we want stuff done our way, and sometimes we're not functioning in love. Now, as a pastor, I always wonder, should I say more? Should I do more? But I ask God, what should I say? In this person, I didn't have to ask. He would call me, "What does this scripture mean?" He really wanted to know about God. Some of you would know who I'm talking about just by the way I'm talking. But one particular time, I'm doing our online Bible study, and my phone starts ringing, and nobody calls me during Bible study, so I'm thinking it is an emergency, and I look down, and it's this person calling me. He's online watching us, and he calling me. So after Bible study is over, on my way to work, I called him. I was like, "I can't answer the phone because I'm actually doing Bible study online." He said, "But in Bible study, you said if anybody has any questions, let me know." And I'm like, "I appreciate it if you wait till I get done." But
But he wanted God so bad, I'll interrupt the sermon because I want God. And somebody was looking at him, and there's a bunch of people believe when he died, he went to hell. But I know better than that because he wanted God. But you got to know how to love. And here's the thing. Love don't always work on our time clock. Let me tell you something else. That person you divorced, yes, they was a fool when you was with them, and that's why you divorced them, but God still might change their life, and you gotta have to let some stuff go. It's interesting. I was talking to a pastor friend. This is not in my notes. This is a side note. I was talking to my pastor friend about the book of Jonah, and I've read it several times. When I first read it, I always read it as the Sunday school lesson that I learned with Jonah that was swallowed up by the big fish. Never says it was a whale, it just says a big fish, but we've always said whale. He swallowed up, he was in the belly of the whale. But that's only in like the first chapter. If you read the subsequent chapters of Jonah, you understand there was something sinister going on in Jonah's life. Here's what was happening was God wanted him to go to Nineveh. If you know anything about Nineveh, Nineveh was really a bunch of black folk. If you look at the history, it was just the black folk. And yes, they were acting a fool. Not only had they been acting a fool, there was a history of oppression from them to the Israelite people. And so when God told Jonah to go preach to them, here's what Jonah knew. God, you're so merciful. You're going to forgive folk that I don't even like. So he ran away but ended up going there. And when God sent him there, a revival happened and they repented and turned around. But if you look at the end of Jonah, Jonah was upset because God delivered folk that he didn't like. Sometimes God will bless somebody that's done you wrong and you just got to suck it up. Because at the end of the day, he's still G-O-D. And so Jonah actually said, I would rather die than to see you keep blessing folk that I don't like. But guess what? God gonna bless some folk that don't vote the way you vote. God gonna bless some folk that don't look like you. And you're gonna have to learn how to deal with it. Because here's the thing, when you was a mess, God blessed you when you was a mess. So you just gonna have to throw your hands up and say, God, do what you got to do. Now, sometimes you can be honest. I don't like it. That's the last person I want to see you touch. It's the last person I want to see you use. But let me watch my mouth because I don't want you to stop up the flow of blessing in my life. Here's the thing. What you're doing with them ain't none of my business. Let me focus on what God is doing me. All right. So let's take it a little further. Here's point number four. So let's recap. Noisy. Nothing, not know what? You don't know God at all. Number four, not heard. Proverbs 21:13, read this in the King James Version.
Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard.
Uh-oh. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But I don't mind if they cut school lunch. Just because your kids got something to eat don't mean everybody else's kids have something to eat. And so what the Bible says, if you stop your ears to the cry of the poor, he also will not hear your cry.
Uh-oh. Let's go to another version of the same verse. Read it.
Whoso closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered.
You know, it's some folk saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost that won't come on this side of town. Because there's too many people over here that don't look like them, don't have the money they have, and they're not coming in this direction. But then they're going to go and pray. And God said, I don't hear none of that. You don't have enough love in your tank for me to hear you. Let me use that example. So I live in Muncie, Indiana. I have a fourth of a tank, and I'm going to drive to Memphis, Tennessee, without stopping and getting any gas. Guess what's going to happen? I ain't going to make it. There's not enough in my tank to go where I want to go. Ooh, there's a revelation. There's not enough love in your tank
to go where you want to go. And some of y'all are going to be on the side of the road stranded because you don't have enough love in your tank to do what you want to do. I ain't talking about worldly folk. I'm talking about church folk.
Church folk. So my cousin, one of my Clark cousins, he posted something. It was so beautiful. He said, it doesn't make sense to put the Ten Commandments in school and turn around and cut school lunch. And then I added, a hungry child can't eat the Ten Commandments off the wall when they need bread in their stomach. And we got folk running around talking about we got to put the Ten Commandments up. But it don't make a difference if you don't take care of these poor schools with these poor people that don't have anything to do and can't do anything. It's easy to talk a game, and this is what Bishop Mitchell taught us. It's easy to talk religion, but when you get down and live life with people, it changes everything. Yeah. Folk, you're talking about, yes, some of these kids are bad. Yes, they're bad. But try to go without eating for 4 and 5 days and see how bad you would be.
Right.
Some of y'all hangry by the time I get done preaching, you already mad. You can't even shake hands with nobody. You got to run to McDonald's. Well, what about a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old belly? That's why they so bad, because they broke, they're poor, and they're being raised by kids that don't know nothing. They're crack babies, they're opioid babies, and the church is over there pointing fingers when we ought to be loving people. Let me turn this way. And sometimes it was your family that got them addicted when they sold all that stuff. Sometimes the couch you sitting on was drug money that was causing these kids to be sick. And all of a sudden, oh, I love you, Lord. And I lift my... Shut up and get back to love.
Yeah.
Now, I am being facetious and some, but sometimes it's really true. Sometimes how low we are. It's like I said, it's so easy to talk big, talk a big game. Let me just talk about my own self. So at the beginning of the year, I said I was going to do a time in the month of January with no sugar. And I said, as the Lord leads, I'm going to do some more of these no sugar in the month. And the last one I did was in January. It sounded good when I was talking about it. But when the rubber met the road, a Coke and cherry pie and Dairy Queen been calling my name. It's easy to talk on a level until you have to be dealt with it. It's easy to look at folks and say they just need to get saved until you got to live what they live. Married folk, it's easy to tell folk to stay out the bed when you got a warm body in your bed. Let's learn how to understand. It's called empathy. When you step in other people's shoes, it changes how you handle people. We got to learn how to love, because if we don't love, then we're nothing but a bunch of noise. We are nothing. We don't know God, and we are not going to be heard. Let's add a fifth one. Point number 5. Not wanted. Now this gets even deeper. And what I'm saying about this, actually, God, let me put it this way. Some folks just didn't got on God's nerves to the point where it's not even wanted. Going back to the example of him putting his hand over his ears. Now, unfortunately, one of the great things that has happened after the pandemic is church online. And we're able to see and experience church online. But also one of the worst things that happened to the church is church online. Because we see some of the low level of stuff that's happening in the church. Some of them are nothing but a bunch of emotionalism. Some people just shouting and they don't even know what they're shouting about. They don't have no word, no nothing, no anointing. And as a preacher who has done the work, it's irritating. Some of the stuff I can't watch. I can't watch because I'm looking at it, and there's no power. There's no nothing. But here's the thing. If finite me can't watch it, God can't watch some of this stuff. And I'm not talking, once again, we're not trying to dog people because that's not the point of the message. But the point is, if you're doing all that and you don't have the basics of love. Oh, let me see how I can walk this. This whole, we've seen it in 16, seen it in 20. We're seeing it out again in 2024. This whole election cycle exposes how much lack of love the church has. You want somebody to be real evil? Tell them you voting different than how they vote. You'll see, man, they'll call you all kinds of stuff. Stop talking to you. I never forget in the last election cycle, I had someone, I posted a video and someone who was not my friend got a hold of it. And there was a pastor. They shared it with their friend. And then about 10, 15 of these church members followed me. They're like, man, you preach the word. You're awesome. They invited me to their church. I wasn't a speaker, but they just invited me to be there, talk to them. And all of a sudden, I noticed when Black Lives Matter come out and I posted something about Black Lives Matter, all 15 of them folks, they was no longer my friend. They loved me as long as I was saying what they wanted me to say. But how are you going to tell me as a black man, this happened to be a white pastor, how are you going to tell me how I'm supposed to feel about my black body? You gonna unfollow me for me saying something about my black skin. You ain't never been pulled over as a black man because you white. So how, instead of coming and try to see things from my perspective, it's just so much easier to unfollow folk and block folk. But that's how the church will act. It ain't just white folk, black folk, we act a fool too. We still sometimes fight each other over colorism. What's colorism? Light skin is better than dark skin. A dark skin is better than light skin. You got good hair. You got bad hair. Listen, we're humans and we all messed up. And if we are going to make a difference in the world, we're going to have to get back to the simple basics of love. Love. Now, I got to move on, but I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. So I know even though we're a church of love and it says L-O-V-E, I know we don't always love like we should. I know some of y'all don't really like some of the other folk in here. I hope you keep it to a minimum. I hope y'all don't cause discord. Hope you don't get on phones and talk about folk and stuff like this. Sometimes we can't even get folk to sit in different seats. Y'all got your seat. If you sit in ladies' Devin's seat, she might be mad at you for a month. Hopefully she's not like that. But I'm not a fool to think just because I preach it, we got it all together. And I'm not such a fool to think that just because I preach it and teach it that I don't have some stuff in me. Because there's some people that I look at on my job and I go the other way. I'm saved and sanctified, but they so lazy it get on my nerves. But here's the thing. The Lord was dealing with me. This particular person, I haven't worked with him in about 6 years. They was lazy then, but I ain't worked with them in 6 years. Why am I still holding a grudge about their laziness? It's no longer bothering me. But when I look at them, I just want to say, yo, lazy joker. But see, when you're human, you want to go beyond that. I want to call them lazy, nasty, fat, and I'm like, nah. See, the Holy Spirit has to check you because when you think you're right, you do too much. That's right. And so what God told me, nah, you can't be up there preaching to the people about love. You're going to have to let some of this stuff go. That's why I talked to you about forgiveness. And so God's been dealing with me too. Just because I have the mic don't mean I got it all right. Amen. We are human, but we got to get back to some of the basic stuff. Some of that stuff, you just got to let it go. I'm learning. Yes, we have childhood trauma. Yes, there's people in your family who've done you wrong, but are you going to think about it all your life? How much of it is it really holding you back right now? Really, it isn't unless you let it. So just let it go. Nah, I ain't going to the family reunion because so-and-so is going to be there. So-and-so maybe not going to be there.
You're not going to enjoy no ribs. You ain't going to enjoy no cooling the game because of so-and-so from 25 years ago. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in love. And God, what I can't take, don't bring it toward my plate. If I can't stand to see Uncle so-and-so, don't let him show up the same time I'm there. Sometimes you got to ask God to help you, but you got to go on and live your life. Why? For your own blessings. I can't allow my pettiness. I'm a pastor, but there's a side of me that's petty. There's a side of me that enjoys being petty. And guess what? I got to let the petty go. Because I can be petty with the best of them. Y'all don't know. Just because I dress in a suit, y'all like my pastor sweet, but I can be petty. Ask Lady Devin, I got a petty side to me, but I got to crucify that under the cross because I'm not going to allow my pettiness to miss my blessing.
Amen.
Miss my blessing. I shared this some years ago, and I'll share it again. So when I first started driving, my dad let me use his Astro Chevy van that was a mess. See, Brother Draylen don't understand. Brother Draylen's getting to drive my old Cadillac. Normally, you don't start at that level.
That's right.
Normally, you start way, way farther back. So I was in this Astro van, and my father, and I believe Michael Case was going to our church today, and there was Polo Jeep. My father would go and visit Polo Jeep, so sometimes I would go and visit him. And I started falling in love with these Jeeps. But I had this raggedy van. And when I say raggedy, I'm talking about the whole front seat would spin 360. Oh, you got a nice... No, that it wasn't supposed to do that. I remember leaving work one time, I was going over the tracks and the shocks were so bad. Somebody asked me the next day, why did you put hydraulics on that van? No, that's not hydraulics. That's bad shocks. But it was the car I had to drive to get me where I needed to go. Well, I remember I was driving my van, my dad's van, to get to work, and I seen this silver Jeep, like one of the Jeeps I had seen on the lot. And oh, I fell in love with the Jeep. It had Ball State plates. And so when I got up to the light, I just wanted to look over, and it just happened to be two pretty blonde girls driving the Jeep. They were pretty, but I wasn't looking at them. I was actually looking at the Jeep. But baby, when they saw me look over, they threw their head up. Like, don't look at me. And I'm like, I may not be the best looking man, but I ain't as ugly as y'all trying to make it seem like. My van is jacked up and y'all like, don't look over here. Well, it just so happened we had, for I guess the time I was going to work, I would cross them several times a week for a couple years. Well, I end up, for my first car, buying a brand new Jeep. And guess who I pulled up next to? Them pretty blonde girls. I looked over, and guess what? They looked over at me, and I hit the gas. If you don't like me in the van, you can't like me in the Jeep. And then I, because I'm petty, I slowed down for them to look like they was catch up, and I pulled off again. So I got a little petty in me. I need some help with. But they wouldn't look my way when I had the raggedy van. But all of a sudden, they want to look and catch my attention. I didn't want nothing to do with them. So I got something in me. But here now, I'm driving a brand new car. I got to say, listen. I don't want no blessing to make me so petty that I can't care for other folk. Now, I don't always give to the homeless people because I don't always know what they're going to do with the money. But there's not a time that when I pass by them that I don't say a prayer for them. I may be in a new Cadillac and they may be on the corner. I don't know if they need money or not, but I do know they need some prayer. So I'm going to pray for them. Even if they're scamming people, they need some prayer. Either way. I don't want to be so blessed that I can't think about somebody else. And this is what God is saying. The reason why I can't bless some of my saints is they too petty. They want to go around and we have all these sermons about flossing on your haters. We can't be talking about haters all the time. Let God bless you and just be blessed. Don't worry about the mess. Just be happy to be blessed. And sometimes the only reason some people post on vacation is just to show off. Sometimes put the phone down and just enjoy the moment.
Now, my wife did something for me that I've always wanted to do. She rented a helicopter for me to fly up and fly over Las Vegas when we were there. It was beautiful. And I was taking videos of it. Now, it was funny. I was looking all around. Lady there was looking straight ahead. I was like, you see this? And she like, nope. I did this for you. I'm just trying to get up and get out. But anyway, I was looking at my phone. I was taking videos because I wanted some nice videos. But what I noticed is that I was looking through a small screen when I could have seen everything. So at some point, the Spirit's like, put the phone down and just enjoy where you're at. But I wanted to document it. Sometimes I want people to show what I'm done. But sometimes you have to ask yourself, are you wanting it to be documented so you can show off? So you can post it on Facebook? Or are you just happy and grateful? And sometimes we just showing off. So put the phone down and just enjoy the moment. Because if my blessing is interrupting my love, it's no longer a blessing, it's a curse. If now that you engage, you got to praise God like this. Well, we worship you, God. God, we worship you. Maybe you got the wrong spirit. So we got to be careful when God bless. God don't mind us blessing, but if it's going to cut off our love, you don't need it. Look at this. Let's go on. I went too far on that. Let's look at Isaiah 1, 12, 15. This is God talking. Hear this. It's so powerful.
When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts?
Next verse.
Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies.
God said, I'm tired of your conferences, tired of your convocations. Let me add stuff that's not in it. I'm tired of your big hats and long skirts, and you're leaving, and you're being mean in the restaurants. I'm tired of your offerings.
Help us, God.
Tired of your church services. You're getting on my nerves, and people saying, "Woo, we having church. We had a good old revival." And God said, I'm sick of all of it. He was talking to the people in the time of Isaiah. But let's read.
Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them.
So I'm burdened with your Sunday morning service. Yeah, y'all done got on my nerves so much that it's a chore to watch you pretend like you all into me. Sometimes the loudest person in church is the worst. Because they shouting to be heard. They ain't shouting for God. Oh, God, we bless you. Oh, shut up. If you're not going to live it. Now, if you're living it, ain't nothing wrong with a radical praise. But sometimes I wonder, all that noise, is it being backed up with some love? Because God says, you burden me with all your junk. Uh-oh, read.
When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood.
Ooh. I'm an intercessory prayer warrior. God said, your hand full of blood. Let's come out of this time here in Isaiah, and let's just jump into the 1800s and the 1900s. Or let's even go to the 1700s. Folk was here praying in church and going home beating slaves. Praying, saying, I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a man of God. Preachers and pastors go home beating slaves and in there having church. And God said, your hands is full of blood. Now, it's interesting. It seems so obvious to us to see that then. But what about now? Where it's less obvious. I wonder if God's saying the same thing to us. All your praying is getting on my nerves because it's full of blood. Because you stab folk in the back every time you get a chance.
throw folk under the bus every time you get a chance. Everybody at work loafing off, but when the boss come in, you talk about everybody but yourself. Everybody, are we really as saved as we think we are? Okay, go on. Let me get off of that. Read the next thing. This is what it says. So plain. Read.
Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong.
Never did he mention anything about sex, anything about drinking, anything about drugs. He didn't mention any of that, but he still says stop doing wrong. Because you cannot be doing any of those things and still be doing a bunch of wrong. All right, read. And here, this is powerful.
Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow.
This is what he's actually saying. He said, before you come with me with all that, I need to know you loving folk. Loving folk that don't believe what you believe, but if you go after the hurting and you defend the cause of the person that don't have anything, if your blessing don't make you so sedated that your heart can't cry out for somebody else going through, some single mother, every single mother don't need you dogging them out, don't need your advice. Sometimes they just need you helping them out and standing and fighting for them. God said, they're the kind of saints and Christians I want that the world says, I want these people in my life because they fight for me. One thing I can say about Bishop Mitchell, the streets would say that's a good man. Not because of his preaching, not because of his Bible scriptures, but because of how he treated folk and because of the way he loved.
Sister Juanita's son, Maurice, when we were going through the process of burying his mother, he's like, I definitely want you to preach it, and I definitely want it at her church. She's like, because I love you, but I love Bishop Mitchell. He said, I thought Bishop Mitchell was an angel. He's like, I started laughing. He's like, I'm serious. He said, I was sitting in jail, worried. And I said, God, please help me. And he said he got a knock on the door and said he had a visitor in the middle of the night. He didn't know what was going on. When he came out, it was Bishop Mitchell checking on him. He said about 2 months later, same thing happened. He had having a bad moment. And I think he was saying he got put where he was by himself. It's not prison, so the jail confinement is different, but he was by himself. And the next thing you know, another knock at the door, and here Bishop Mitchell showing up, middle of the night. And when I say middle of the night, my dad, if he wanted to go at 12:30, midnight, he would go. If he got an inkling to go see somebody, he would go see somebody. Get up out of his bed. Amen. 1, 2, 3. It didn't make a difference because he loved. And he showed up, and Maurice said, I thought he was an angel. I didn't think he was real for a second because he showed up when I needed him to show up. Amen. That's the way Christians ought to act. They ought to show up when folk don't think God cares about them. God says, because here's the thing, God's not coming back yet. So you got to be his hands and you got to be his feet in the earth. Not just in church, but out there in the earth. And we'd be a poor ministry if we don't follow the mold of Bishop Mitchell. Going a little longer than what I want to go, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this openly. I just recently went to the jail to visit someone. I haven't been since it's the new jail because they made it a little more difficult to get to the new jail. But I reached out to the sheriff and said, look, I need to visit somebody. And he immediately got back with me and let me know how to visit the person. And so I did. I went out there. And I'm going to be honest with you, I hated every minute of it because they moved that jail so far out of the community. It's so hard to get to people. And I don't think it was done by accident. And yes, I was there in the city council and I was there with Delaware County Council. All the pastors was there. And people always talking about the pastors don't do nothing. The pastors was up there saying, don't move this jail. Because we knew it was going to hurt our folk. So, yeah, I went out there. And Sister Jasmine knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I was able to have a contact visit. And I was grateful that the sheriff made it so I can do that. That was grateful. But listen, when they make you jump through hoops to help folk nowadays, And that's why people are so depressed and so lost, is because it's so hard out there now. A lot of these folk, you be like, oh, they going to hell. They don't want to go to hell, but it's hard. And people are making it harder to even help folk. But I pray to God. I say, God, yes, I'm tired. And here's the thing. I went out there the night before. I went out there and I called the people. And I said, it's late. It's past time. Can I go? They said, you can go. It was 7 o'clock. I said, I'll be there before 7:30. I got up there and stayed to 8:45. And nobody came down to let me in. I stood there waiting to see the person that I was supposed to see. And so, you know what I said? The devil's not going to stop me. I'm going back out there tomorrow. And I went back out there the next day. But it shouldn't take that long just to see about folk. Yes, these kids have done wrong things, but we got to stop throwing them away. And we got to stop letting them throw people away. The church ought to stand up. But we just want to have church. Get out the church for a second and go help the folk that are out there.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 15:8. This is close. These are Jesus' words. This will bring it home.
These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. All right. So I'm going to recap because I got to get it out. I'm going longer than what I thought. So number one, noisy. Number two, nothing. Number three, not know God. Number four, not heard. God not hearing. Number five, not wanted. What do you mean not wanted? He don't even want your fake phony services if you're not operating in love. Here's the last and final point. Number six, not us. What do you mean? What I mean, all that stuff I just talked about, that ain't going to be us.
Amen.
We done had two great leaders here that have gone on to be with the Lord, and we're not going to come in here and be no phony, funky Amen. Church that don't know how to love. Not us. And if we're going to be it, let's go ahead and close the doors and stop wasting our time. Let's watch football every Sunday, because if we're going to come in here and we're not going to carry the legacy and love people and make a difference, we might as well fold this thing up. But I guarantee it's not going to be us. So that brings us all the way back to the title of the message, Nope. Are you going to be a phony church?
Nope.
You going to stop loving?
Nope.
Are you going to talk about all the gays and not help them? Nope. You going to talk about all the drug addicts and not help them?
Nope.
We going to be the church, not have love on our doors. We going to have love in our hearts and love in our actions. And guess what? It won't be just me saying it. The folk out there will be the ones to say, that's a church where you can get some help, because them folk will love you.
Yes.
And I'm not cussing, but let me say it because I said it before. We will love the hell out of folk, because that's what love can do.
Yes.
All right. Read Joshua 24:15, the B clause. Very familiar.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Let me say this, but as for me and my church, we going to love. As for me and my church, we going to make a difference. As for me and my church, we going to serve the Lord. As for me and my church, we're not going to be looking at people as dollar signs. We going to change this city like we've always been doing, and we going to keep doing it, because that's what God has called us to do. So I got to add one more thing as a close, and I ain't talking about nobody else, but put this up. Let me close like this. Put it up. They not like us. Oh, they not like us. A church that wants to act a fool, they not like us. A church that don't want to love, they not like us. A church that don't want to give to the poor, they not like us. I ain't talking about Drake and Kendrick. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. They not like us, because we going to love, we going to live, we going to serve, we going to make a difference.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, all pastors, all they do is steal folks' money. Well, they not like us.
Amen.
All first ladies, all they care about is shaking their bottoms. Well, they not like us. Oh, the pastor's kids is a fool. No, they not like us. Well, all these church members, they just so fake and phony. They not like us. I don't know what church you're talking about, but when you start talking about Deliverance Simple, we a different type of church, because God has assigned us to make a difference in the world. Somebody say, they not like us. Oh, no. Here's let's stand to our feet. Here's a confession. About to get us out of here. Oh, no, they're not like us. And some of y'all saved folk who listen to other music, y'all know they not like us. Here's a confession. I'm going to say it first and then we'll say it together. We say nope to anything and anyone that robs us of our vision of love. Help us to either shape up or ship out. We're going to confess it together, but let me tell you something. I don't want to pastor nobody that don't want to come under the vision of love. If you want to keep up division, I love you, but do it at another church because I don't want it, because we have an assignment on our life. And sometimes the reason why we haven't received the blessings we needed to, because we got too much undercover junk. And we need to expose the junk. And I'm exposing by saying either shape up or ship out. Let's say it together. We say nope
to
anything
and
anyone
that robs us
of our vision of love.
Help us to either shape up
or ship out. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, not only have you told me to talk about forgiveness the last time, you have me talking about love this time. And God, let that picture, that mental picture, and even in their minds, their eyes, and their ears of that noisy symbol, and let them make up in their mind, I'm not going to be a noisy church that don't have love. But we're going to be anchored on love, anchored in love, because God is love. And God, for these people who are looking for a real church, we're not the only real church, but we're one of them. God, let them come in here and find a place where they know they can grow, because this is a place where they will find true, absolute love. And for that, I thank you. For that, I praise you in Jesus' name. Somebody say it. They not like us. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, you got prayer words, you can pray with you. God bless you. Have a great week.